17 of Hebrews chapter 13, a verse which simply says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." On a normal Sunday, 20 to 25 non-members worship in one of the worship services in the chapel here at St. Mary's Gate. 16 come every Sunday. More faithfully even than some of our members. Those 16 can be described in various ways. Some have never publicly professed faith in Christ. Some have made a profession of faith in Christ, but have not been baptized. Some have professed faith in Christ and have been baptized, but or no other situation or circumstance withstanding, are still not in membership of this or any other church. 16. That's quite a few. Now, if you happen to fit into that category, I hope that as we are preparing for our membership course this summer, that you have been thinking about this. You've been considering this matter. You've been praying about this issue. But just so we don't get the cart before the horse, I want us to consider the most foundational and fundamental question of all. And that is church membership biblical? Is the concept or the idea of an individual being a member of a particular church something that's biblical? Hebrews 13 gives us an answer. Hebrews 13, for instance, helps us to understand that church members are part of a family. If you listen to the language of the chapter closely, you will see that the speaker, the writer, employs familial terms throughout. Now, we recognize that as human beings, we are a part of the human family, right? But we're not only a part of the human family, God has also placed us individually in our own families, where there are fathers and mothers, parents and children, brothers and sisters. We're not just a part of the human family. We're a part of an individual family, according to God's mercy and gracious provision. So don't have the idea that, well, the church is the family of God, so I'm a part of this wide family that transcends all time and space, from all generations, covering all the geography of the earth. I'm a part of that family. Well, if you're a Christian, of course you are. But the same God who has placed us in the human family and has also put us into our own individual families takes those who are a part of his worldwide family and places us into local families where there are leaders and there are members and where we together operate together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note that the text also teaches that we're not only a part of the same family, but that we are a part of the same body. And that's why it was so important that early on he was saying that we should remember those who are in prison as though we are in prison with them, because we are a part of one body. That's what the text says. And it's amazing how if you come to the part of Hebrews 13 following the doxology, he specifically makes reference to the fact, you'll be pleased to know, that Timothy, who was in prison, has now been released. And you won't think, well, what does that have to do with me? You'll rejoice to hear that. You'll be glad to know that because you are a part of one body. Now, we are a part of the body politic. The term body politic is the term that is used to describe all the people in the world. And we are a part of that body. But we are a part not only of the body politic, we are a part of the body particular. In that we have a body ourselves. And it's not just a part of this larger body of humanity. We have an individual, personal body with its own inherent strengths and weaknesses, with its own personality, with its own uniquenesses. And so it's not enough just to say we are a part of the body of Christ. It is to say, of what individual local expression of that body are we a part? It's a wonderful blessing to be a part of a family. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of a body. Church membership is not an onerous requirement that people should shrink back from. Church membership is something that people should openly and willingly and gladly embrace as a provision from God so that they are not on their own. They are a part of a family. Sometimes people may not have the right attitude toward those who come in to their midst in their local church. I think, for instance, of a man that I'll see in a little while by the name of Terry at Lindslade. Terry began attending at Lindslade shortly before Christmas. And he was very upfront from the very beginning about his reasons for being there. I've just moved to town. I don't know anyone. Everything's locked down. This place is open. There's a few people here. I'd like to make some friends. Now Reg is shaking his head because he said, that sounds like my story. Amazing. So that's why Terry began coming. Because placed within his heart by the common grace of God was a desire to interact with other people, a desire not to be on his own, a desire to be a part of a family. People who know his name, people who care about his needs, people who take an interest in his life. And so he found there people who would come round and see him, even if it meant standing in his front garden. He found there people who would take him on walks. And he's commented how he's lost 4 inches from his waist since he's begun walking with the friends at Lindslade. He found people who, as soon as the coffee shops opened, would take him out for a cup of coffee. He's found real friends. But 2 months ago today, he found the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. When a man who came looking for friendship and interaction with people found friendship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Terry is baptized and becomes a member of the Lindslade Baptist Church, God will have used the common grace of a desire not to be alone to bring him into a position where he could hear about the saving grace of God in Christ that would mean that he will never be alone, come what may, throughout all time and eternity. We are part of a family. And so if someone comes just looking for friendship, just looking for companionship, just looking for company, just looking for people to be around, don't say, well, their reason for coming is not that great. Their reason for coming is brilliant, because God has placed within them a desire not to be alone, but to be with others and to know the reality of God's grace in the provision of a family. And we're also so very, very privileged to be a part of a body. But parts of a body are only beautiful when they are in fellowship with the rest of the body. If you had walked into the chapel this morning, only to find a hand severed from a body there on the floor, well, you would have gotten out of here as quickly as possible. By now, there would have been police tape around the building. By now, we would have had to say, we're very, very sorry, we're not going to meet at 9 o'clock today. Maybe you want to go across to Lindslade or maybe visit friends at Christ Church. You know, it would be horrific, it would be horrible, wouldn't it, if we walked in and there was a hand here with no body? But I saw you. Some of you were fist bumping when you came in. I saw you. There has even been a hand or two shaken in this building this morning. And we didn't think anything of it. Why? Because the hand was not separate and detached from the body. It was a part of the body. And you can shake hands. You can bump fists. You can rub elbows. You can do any of that. And it's a wonderful, natural, normal, beautiful thing, because the part of the body is joined to the whole. Do you realize that a Christian who is dismembered, you hear the terminology there, a Christian who is dismembered, a member who is cut off from a body, is something that is as different as a part of the body that is dismembered from the body as a whole. Membership is a beautiful thing. And you say, but I wonder why you read verse 17. I wonder why that's the text. I get the larger context of what you're trying to say. But I wonder why you focused in on verse 17. One person, I normally share what I'm preaching with a few people during the week and talk with them about it and pray with them. And, I said good-naturedly, a tongue firmly planted in cheek, that I was going to answer the question, is church membership biblical? Use verse 17 as my text and just say, it's biblical because we said so. Obey your leaders. Submit to us. Be a member of the church. And I can see even behind Rob's mask there, he's smiling broadly because he knows, that sounds like Barry, but that's not really the answer he's going to give us. I want you to see that actually Hebrews 13:17 may very well be the key verse in establishing the concept of biblical church membership. Certainly in the letter to the Hebrews, if not the entire New Testament. Because Hebrews 13:17 infers two fundamental foundational questions. Number one, to whom are you accountable? Now think about that question. To whom are you accountable? The verse says clearly, obey your leaders and submit to them. Obey your leaders and submit to them. So if you are a Christian and you are not a member of a particular local church, to whom are you accountable? Are you accountable to Barry King and Steve Burton and the other elders of Dunstable Baptist Church? Are you accountable to Mark Lawrence and Gareth Mitchell and the other elders of Christ Church Dunstable? Are you accountable to Handel Davies and Rick Bostiani, the elders of Langdale Church Dunstable? If you are a Christian, but you are not a member of a local church, to whom are you accountable? Think about that. If you are a Christian and not a member of a local church, you are no more accountable to me than you are to Mark or to Handel and Rick. To whom are you accountable? You're a member of a family. Who leads that family? You are a part of a body. Who gives direction to that body? To whom are you accountable? The last year or so has been very strange in many ways. Some people attend church less than ever before. Some people attend church, at least virtually, more than ever before. I know of one couple, faithful attenders of Dunstable Baptist Church, who profess to attending services virtually 7 times every Sunday. And so when you wonder why I'm going from here to there to over there and sometimes even somewhere else in the course of one day, I'm just trying to keep up with the members. 7 churches. And so I decided in recent weeks that I would listen to a sermon from each of the 7 churches that they attend. Stylistically, I got on well with all 7 of them. Substantively, there were differences, even pronounced differences, in several of them. And it led me to the conclusion that perhaps people were thinking, looking for something that's more the style they prefer than the substance they need. And it occurred to me that if you are not a part of a local church, you don't actually have anyone to whom you are accountable. I'm preparing, beginning in August, to preach at our 4 p.m. service, a 9-week series from the Old Testament concerning the prophet Elisha. And those of you who know my patterns, I read as extensively as possible, and I also listen as widely as possible to how others have dealt with various texts. So this week, I had the opportunity to listen to Paul Mallard's ministry delivered at the Keswick Conference a couple of years back about the prophet Elisha. And it was excellent. Excellent. In fact, so much so, one particular message, I said, I don't need to listen to this until after I have preached it, or I will find I'm being a channel for Paul Mallard's ministry. It was just excellent. Really, really good. So I'm sitting here, and it occurs to me, I'm not accountable to Paul Mallard. He can preach this excellent message, but whether or not I believe what he says or not, I'm not accountable to him in any way for that. He can actually give the very pointed words of application, which he did, but I don't have to behave in a way and manner that's consistent with his message because I'm not accountable to him. And even if I'm listening to a message that I don't particularly get on with or that I don't particularly like, I can just switch it off or I can just fast forward it to the end in hopes that there'll be some useful application before it's done. Why? Because I'm not accountable to them. But when you become a member of a local church, you have someone to whom you are accountable. What would you think about a child who didn't want to be accountable to their parents? What would you think about a member of the body that didn't want to be accountable to its head? You would think this is a recipe for disaster. To whom are you accountable? Read through Hebrews later in the afternoon and just underscore every time you see the word in chapter 13, leaders, leaders, leaders. And particularly when you come to the very end, you will see that he will say again, greet all your leaders and all the saints. This is a local church to whom these words are being addressed, where there are leaders and there are members. Greet all your leaders. Greet all the saints. Are you a part of a particular local church? You should be, because it's biblical, because otherwise you don't have anyone to whom you are accountable. Your favorite YouTube preacher is never going to send you a private message and say, I noticed that you didn't listen last week. That person that you follow from a distance is never going to be in touch to say, I haven't seen you recently. How are you getting on? Are there any problems I should be aware of? Some people don't like that kind of accountability, but Christians do. They recognize they're a part of a family and they're a part of a body. But there's a second question. Not only to whom are you accountable, but who is accountable for you? Listen to what he says in this verse. Obey your leaders and submit to them. That's the first question. To whom are you accountable? But then he continues and says, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. You see, pastors, elders, we are not shepherds. We are under shepherds. And one day, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, will appear, and all of the under shepherds will have to give an account
to Him for all of those among whom He has placed them as overseers. Who is accountable for you? Paul Mallard is not accountable for me, though I enjoy listening to him on the internet. Mark Lawrence and Gareth Mitchell and Handel Davies and Rick Bostiani are not accountable for me, though they serve as elders and pastors in this town. Who is accountable for you? Who is it that will one day stand before the chief shepherd and give an account of their stewardship of your soul? They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Amazing. He goes on to say, let them, and maybe go through Hebrews 13, and after you've marked every time you see the word leader, maybe just mark every time you see the word let. And here he says, let them, that is those who watch over your souls, let them do this with joy and not with groaning. That would be of no advantage to you. We think, We would never want our leaders to groan because, you know, we love them and we respect them and we want to honor them, and we would just hate to do anything that would make them feel bad, or we would just hate to do anything that would discourage or disappoint them. That would not be good for them. And he says, no, that would not be good for you. So who is it that on that day when the chief shepherd appears will have to give an account for you? It is the one to whom you are accountable now. Now, I want to begin to draw to a conclusion this morning by dealing with some potential objections and maybe making a few points of useful clarification. Maybe the first and foremost reason that people will not commit to church membership is because they're not convinced of the biblical nature of the concept. And that's what I've been talking about the last half hour or so. Been seeking to persuade you with the help of God that, yes, it is biblical. But though I have encountered those people, and though I still deal with them, some of them on a regular basis, I think the reason that most people object to being a member of a particular local church is not biblical, but is personal. So I want to speak to you very personally about the personal reasons that people have for not becoming a member of a local church. I know that for some, to say it's personal is a kind way of bringing the conversation to a close. But just because something is personal does not mean that it is private. So let me speak to you personally. First and foremost reason, personally, that many are very reluctant to commit to membership in a particular local church is because they've been a member of a church before and it didn't go so well. Perhaps it ended badly. Perhaps there were difficulties. Perhaps there was disappointment. Perhaps there was hurt. Perhaps they had
what we sometimes call a bad experience. And that bad experience puts them off. I'll be very honest with you. I identify entirely. My wife will tell you that there are things that I will not eat regardless of how well prepared they are. Because sometime 40, 50 years ago, I had a bad experience with that particular food item. And I'll never touch it again just because of that. It makes no sense to you whatsoever, but it makes a lot of sense to me. I just never want to feel again the way I felt then. Here's Katie on the floor, falls over, bumped her head. She's had a bad experience in church. And so in years to come, if she doesn't want to commit to membership in a local church, she can rightly say, well, when I was just a little girl, I fell over, bumped my head. It put me off the whole idea. I would just say to you who have had a bad experience in church, we all feel your pain. We have all been there, done that. But since we are speaking very personally, have you ever had a bad experience in your family? Have you, as husband and wife, ever had a quarrel, a spat, a falling out? Have you, as parents and children, ever disagreed? Have you, as brothers and sisters, ever had your difficulties? Any of you had a bad experience in your family? That's what I thought. But we were still made to be a part of a family despite bad experience. Any of you ever had a bad experience in your body? A sickness, an injury, a disease, something broken, something fractured, something that needed to be mended, something that required treatment, something that required hospitalization, something that required physiotherapy. Anyone ever had any problems, difficulties in their body? That's what I thought. But you can't have your hands saying, I don't want to be a part of this body. You can't have your foot saying, I don't want to be a part of this body. You know, you can't have some member of the body saying, no, I don't want to be a part of the body because, I mean, there's sickness, there's disease, there's hurt. That's a part of being a part of the body. Yes, you have those bad experiences, even in church. And sometimes you're the completely innocent party. It was events having nothing to do with you. Sometimes you were a part of it. God forbid, in some instances, you might have even been the cause of it. And you just say, never again. Never again. You were meant to be a part of a family. You were meant to be a part of a body. You were meant as a Christian to be a part of a church. To whom are you accountable? Who is accountable for you?
I pray that you'll think very clearly. And I pray that you'll search the scriptures daily to see whether or not the things I'm saying are so. And I trust that the Lord will indeed guide you in this matter. And that very soon, perhaps even now, you will say, I want to be a member of a church. I want to be a member of this church. For some, that will mean repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will mean becoming a Christian. For some, that will mean going into the waters of baptism and being immersed upon their profession of faith. For some, that will mean giving testimony of their conversion and baptism and the reasons that they believe the Lord would have them to be a part of the church. But what a great joy it would be for us all to see many, to see all of those 16 different people who worship with us at St. Mary's Gate every single Sunday, saying, yes, God helping me, the Spirit leading me, Christ constraining me, I will become a part of this church.